All right, welcome everybody. This is Carol McClelland Fields, and today we're going to be talking about coaching in times of increasing change and uncertainty. And I think everybody I talk to is feeling both of those things, the increasing change and our uncertainty, which means our clients are also feeling that. So today I'm going to share a little background information about how to think about these changes in a new way, and then also some realizations that can help you prepare and be nimble on your feet if you have a client that sort of shifts story in the middle of your sessions together, and to know a little bit more about how to prepare yourself and what to do in those situations. So I'm going to. You guys at the top, maybe I could do that. And so most of us in our training, whether we're trained as therapists or coaches or social workers, counselors, we have been trained to really focus on supporting clients through personal changes. And what do I mean by personal changes and transitions? So I've divided them up to these four different spheres. If you've taken any of my change workshops, you may have seen this before. The first one is about the soul. This is the person's inner life. What is happening inside of them? They're working with a new dream, or they're trying to learn a new skill, or they're reevaluating their values and trying to find their purpose. All of that internal quest information. And their spiritual life is another one. I didn't put that there, but that's another element of this soul level. Personal is all the changes that we go through as an individual, with our body, with our emotions, with where we live, with financial changes. And family has to do with family of origin, our partner, our children, friends, even pets would fall into this category in my world because, you know. Dogs. Cats too, but in my world, it's a dog. And then work. A lot of people go through changes that are desired. They want to change, or they could be laid off, they could be promoted, they could be relocated, they could be retired. All of those kinds of changes. So, as you can see, there are a lot of changes that we can sort of roll with what we already know and support people through whatever they're going through. It's important to note, given the topic of this presentation, that every change has uncertainty baked into the journey. So, if you are waiting for news about a lab result, or you are wondering if you're going to be laid off, or you have a friend in an evacuation zone, in fire country or in hurricane country, that uncertainty is part of the mix. And it's not, I mean, I think the epitome of that uncertainty is when you're waiting for test results from a doctor. You know, something's perhaps up and you just have to wait it out. And it is one of the hardest stages of any change is when there is that moment where my life could turn this way or this way, and I don't know what that's going to be right now. That's a hard moment for anybody. But in our world today, there are a lot more changes. The level of uncertainty has definitely intensified. And I'm trying to move this up so you can see that. And a lot of times it's these large-scale collective events that are touching our lives, the lives of our clients, our own lives at a faster rate with increased intensity. And we're going to talk more about those in the next slide. And part of the reason that's all made all the more intense is because our media, whether that's social media, independent media, regular mainstream media, however you get your news, they are making us more aware of changes and events happening in our own region, down the street, in our region, in our state, around the country, and also around the world in real time. 24/7. It's really hard to step away, though some people are right now trying to just limit how much news there is in their world because it's just sometimes too much. So, what does this increased level of uncertainty mean for your coaching practice, your therapy practice? One of the key things I have experienced myself is that if you are supporting a client, what was salient in their life in their your last session may not be the most salient thing in this session today. And so there are a lot of reasons and a lot of scenarios where their picture of their life has changed, and we'll get into that. But sometimes the event itself hasn't even touched them directly, and yet they are still very impacted by that change. And then, as I mentioned, shifts can happen out of the blue and can literally change the trajectory of your work together in the near term. So, are you prepared? Are you ready to be able to make this pivot with your clients with grace and compassion? And doesn't happen with every client, certainly, but when it happens, you need to know how to work with that situation. So let's talk a little bit about the next set of changes. And I came up with this diagram in 2019, I believe. I was preparing the Coaching Clients in Uncertain Times class that I'll talk about later. And I just realized how much more change we're aware of and we live through at various spheres and the regional. If you have anything going on in your neighborhood or town, we have a landfill 4 miles down the road that has made all of us into activists because they are not attending to how to do things very well. So it could be a natural disaster. I know Colorado, I have relatives in Colorado. Colorado is going through a lot right now with the fires. Washington State is going on through a lot with fires. There are economic shifts happening. There's discovery of different kinds of toxins. Nationally, these are changes that impact an entire country. So this could be policy changes, economic changes, social justice events or causes. There's a lot going on nationally in any country. It's not just the country we live in, but any country is going through a lot. And then there are global changes, things that impact the world as a whole. The pandemic was a great example of it that we are all very familiar with. The climate changes that are impacting our weather events and the trade winds and things like that. And wars can also have a big impact throughout the world. So, although we think of these as out there, we're going to talk about why these changes, these high uncertainty events, can also impact our clients and why we need to stretch what we know to be able to roll with these other kinds of impacts that clients may be experiencing. So, as coaches, therapists, counselors, we have really good reasons to feel out of our depths in some of these situations. We have not received much training about change at this level, in this magnitude, nor are we trained necessarily to support clients that are in the middle of a highly uncertain time. It is kind of jangles our own nervous system. And we need to know how to just be with that client as they are sorting through some things. So, to support clients in this, we need to update our own knowledge, our own understanding, vocabulary, and training around all these spheres of change that I just introduced you to. We must also expand our awareness about how these collective events impact our clients. And we're going to talk about that today. And then we need to be better prepared to pivot at when life happens suddenly and the person on the call is not the person it's the same person, but what they are experiencing is quite different than what you may have prepared for the session. So any questions before we get started? I'm happy to answer them. You can put them in the chat if you want. I will see a new chat. People are still rolling in. Welcome, everybody. All right. So I'm going to introduce you to four, I think. Four or five. I just counted these and I knew that a minute ago, but a number of important realizations and going into some detail so you can just begin to think about change differently for the clients that you're working with. So one of the things that I've noticed is that clients who are in the midst of change may be impacted by changes that are beyond the transition they're bringing to your session. So they usually have a presenting transition that they're coming to you with. And often they may be being impacted by other changes and not even know it, not even bring them up to you. So what clients generally don't realize is that their experience is deeper, more intense, and harder due to the coexisting transitions and increased uncertainty in our world. That is making a difference in how people feel about what they're going through in those personal level changes. And one temptation may be to pretend those outside influences don't really exist and just to help the client with the thing that's on their plate right now. But what that does is it limits your client's ability to think realistically about their situation, and it also impacts your ability to help your client effectively. So we have to remember that everything is interconnected these days. And keeping our focus on a defined silo, a defined picture that somebody brings us, is really a disservice. So how do we expand the conversation to help the client realize and notice the other things that are contributing to their current situation? Usually, when they notice the bigger picture, it brings them some sort of relief and insight. And I'll tell you a story about that in a second. So, what I tend to do is I ask a question. So, after they've shared with me with whatever's happening for them, I will say something, and you can reword this to make it your style, but there's a lot going on in your life and the world these days. Is there anything else that's contributing to your angst or worry at this time? And what that does is it gives them an opportunity to go, oh, I didn't realize it, but this thing happening for my sister is really on my mind today. Or the earthquake in Venezuela is just whole, it's heavy on my heart today. So when you know the full picture, you can respond and you can support the client in responding more fully to what is happening in their world. When I first taught the coaching clients in uncertain times, one of the students was working with a client who was experiencing significant stress and concern, like to a degree that she was having a hard, the client was having a hard time functioning in the world. And her client brought this fears of change diagram to the conversation to see what else was in play and to hopefully give the client some perspective. Note, this coaching client was still in the class when she did this, and she was astounded at the way that understanding the source of her client's anxiety, how the client understanding the source of her anxiety brought her relief, especially when she realized that there were some things on her that were impacting her anxiety that were really not in her power, her control, or her ability to solve. And by recognizing that, by acknowledging that, both she and the coach had a more realistic perspective of what was going on, and they were able to come up with some strategies that the client could use to work with her stress and help it calm down a bit, and how to shift her perspective a little bit to find to focus on the things that she were really under her control. And so the understanding of the sources, all of the sphere of different levels of change, and recognizing that the pandemic was part, this was in 2020, so the pandemic was part of it. There was something happening locally in her region that was part of it. And it just helped her build that bigger picture, just like we were talking about. So she was not just looking at this small piece of a picture, but she could see how it connected with other pieces of her existence. So that diagram has the power to deepen your conversation with a client and really help your client surface those tendrils of stress and uncertainty that are definitely impacting whether they're conscious or not. Realization number two, it's essential to acknowledge that your client's transitions are impacted by the ripple effects of changes their loved ones and the collective are experiencing. So let's talk about some examples of these. So in my research around these uncertain times, I've delved into who is impacted and how are they impacted when there's a hurricane or a fire or a power outage or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be natural, but those are often the collective experiences that a lot of people go through, a flood. So I realized that there's our response to our loved ones and what our loved ones are going through can definitely impact our own emotional well-being and also impact the transitions we're already going through as an individual. So here are some examples. Worrying about a senior parent, maybe close by, maybe far away, a child being away at school and what they're going through, a friend going through a difficult, unsafe divorce, a relative that's in shipping out or already overseas, a sibling looking for a job and that job search is going on and on, a spouse dealing with a healing challenge. All of those transitions, the person that you're working with is not going through the transition themselves, but they are impacted by the changes that their loved ones are going through. If you're a caregiver, this is kind of like a constant reality because you're not just responsible for your own well-being, you're also responsible for the other person's well-being. I am looking up. Yes, I will provide the slides along with the recording so that you'll be able to download that on the ILCT page. Great question. Okay, so there are also the impact of regional, national, and global events. We've talked about on our loved ones, but also on people we don't even know. Sometimes these events are so impactful that they, especially those that are empathic and intuitive, we feel that. I remember the first time I really felt that and noticed it was 9/11. I was just glued to the TV, and because of my transition knowledge, I was just kind of ricocheting through everybody's life that they were talking about and thinking about how those changes were going to impact their families and their friends and their coworkers, and it just became this kind of massive ripple effect from that one event. Hurricane Katrina was another one that I was very drawn to understanding and watching. The tsunamis in the mid-2000s were also a big magnet for me to just watch and witness what people were going through so that I could see how that came into the conversation about change. So when your client shares something about a loved one, something about a collective experience that's going on in their area, listen with empathy. It may not seem any related at all to what you're working on with them, but it is part of their experience, and you may find that it's playing a larger role because it triggers past memories of their own similar kinds of events, or they know somebody in the area, or they are just tied in empathetically to what's happening. So honoring them and being supportive of them telling the story can be very, very helpful. All right, the next piece. So the power of collective transitions impacts our clients directly, vicariously, and indirectly. So I wanted to talk about these three terms. I go into these in much more detail in the coaching clients in uncertain times. But this is an important thing to realize. So, mostly we talk about our clients going through a big change. We just talked about people feeling the impacts of a event. When the client's loved one is there, I call that they feel that vicariously. It's like they are in the house with the water rising, or they are in the house trying to decide whether and when to evacuate. If you're a loved one watching from afar, I'm not saying it's harder, but it's different. I was actually at a hotel on a business trip when my family home was part of an earthquake, and I could not get information for a long, long time. And I knew my dog was at the house, and I knew my chimney was brick, and I just had all these stories kind of framing. And it turned out it was okay, but that period of time was a period of helplessness because even though I didn't experienced the earthquake myself, I was concerned about my loved ones. And I will tell you, I didn't have my neighbor's phone number in my wallet. And after that event, I kept my neighbor's phone number in my wallet so I could always call them and say, what's going on? So that vicarious experience is going to impact your clients at times. It's not that they are in the event, but they are feeling it. This can also happen when a loved one is going through a medical situation. I know I was in the Midwest when my father was having surgeries and getting diagnosed with his cancer. And I, again, the waiting and the worrying and not knowing. But knowing something was happening, but not knowing the details, that was a vicarious response that was very, very difficult. Now, the other piece is that sometimes we are indirectly impacted because we just feel the weight of the event emotionally. Nobody we know is involved, but we feel it. And I know, Hurricane Helene was another one. I knew a couple of colleagues in the area, but I was not, I didn't know them closely, but I started reading about what they were going through, and I just became more and more involved in that experience that they were going through and feeling it. You know, it's the feeling, and that can translate into, you know, they're feeling things they've never felt before and they don't know where how to make sense of it. And so by having these three different ways somebody can experience one of those broader collective events can help your clients understand what they're experiencing. One of the deficits in our understanding of change is the vocabulary. Our vocabulary around change is very, very limited in our language. And so one of the things that I'm focusing on is building in more vocabulary so that we can have more nuanced explanations and understandings and ways to share what we're going through, ways to ask for support when we're going through those things. And that is, I think one of the things that helps people the most is to know that what they're feeling is real and to have the words to then go back and share that with somebody or write in their journal so they can finally put down what they experienced in words that address the nuances and the depth of what they're feeling. So that is another important realization. And number four is when life happens quickly, you need to shift with your client, possibly into territory that is not your usual expertise. And this can, it just happens. if you're newer to coaching, it may not have happened yet, but you know, I've had people in every one of these examples that I've listed here, and I'll describe them. But generally, when somebody's life has been shaken up significantly, and they already had a session with you, or it's time for their session, they will show up in a very dysregulated state that is not at all what you were planning. It is not at all what you were talking about before. And you've never even seen this person in such a dysregulated state. So sometimes our job is to witness, our job is to listen with empathy and compassion, and to give them a landing place with all this energy. So, if a client has just received a call with news of a loved one, an accident, or somebody getting a divorce, or getting called up for duty, whatever that is, it is shaking them to their core and comforting them in some way, maybe just letting them talk, but also providing them with some comfort can be very, very valuable. Honoring the intense
Hi,
grief
Asia. This is
after
Steve
someone, a
Wrigley from
loved
Morning
one
Live Counseling.
dies.
I have a question for you. I think we're currently only seeing one of your patients,
Excuse
and we
me.
have an office, but we're going
I
virtual.
someone
Do you
is
guys allow
unmuted.
virtual
Yeah,
therapy?
I know. Can you mute the person who's talking on the phone?
Telehealth, yeah.
I don't even know who
Okay,
this is.
and
Hold
I
on.
do not have to have. We have so many patients lately say to us, we just don't want to come in the office. We said it's not worth keeping the office. Anyway.
Steve,
So,
could you
okay, so
please mute
telehealth, we've got
yourself?
we'll keep the same address.
I'm
We're gonna
trying to,
the landlord
for
here is moved downstairs
confidentiality, that's what I need
to
to do.
a virtual office space, so we'll
Steve,
have the
we
same
can hear
address as before.
you. Please
Just don't
mute.
have a
I'm
phone.
muting you. Okay. I think that caused it. Pat, I'm going to mute you too, just for clean. Okay. Well, that was interesting. Moving back. Okay, so honoring the intense grief after a loved one dies, I have had that experience as well, where It's fairly new and intense, and it's a surprise, as often that is. And so, sure, they could cancel their session with you, but you may be a safe person for them. And so, helping them have a chance to tell that story can be very, very helpful and can begin that healing process with compassion. And not everybody gets that. Another one is acknowledging the shock of a new diagnosis. I've had several clients who have had in the last week a diagnosis that was, at the beginning, it's all unknown, so it's always a shock. And just acknowledging that that's normal. And in the seasons of change, we actually talk about this scenario and what's happening for the client and what's the next step and how to support them as they move toward that. And then I mentioned this earlier, but when a loved one is evacuating and there are a lot of unknowns about that person's story and what's happening and you aren't on the ground to know they're safe and you can't get a hold of them, that is unnerving for many, many people, and more people are having this experience. And it may to them feel like they shouldn't be so impacted. And part of our job is to witness and acknowledge that, yes, this is how our bodies work. That when a loved one that we're connected to goes through something and we're empathetic and feel, we're a feeling kind of person, then that is something that could pop up in a session. So when we help them tell their story, maybe talk about some next steps they can do for self-care, for finding out more information. That is also kind of a template that we talk about in the seasons of change, about how to work with somebody who's gone through something to get them to a place that feels safer. All right. And then the down. So, as I was thinking about this scenario, I was thinking about how you can increase your ability to pivot on short notice. And so, there are phases to each change journey. And when you understand the phases, it's not just one big event. There are different phases. And I call that the seasons of change. It's a nature inspired way to look at and navigate changes. And by familiarizing yourself with those phases, then you can begin to learn how to notice where a person is and what they can do to move and heal as they move through the seasons. Being aware of certain things to notice around shock, around trauma, around grief can be very helpful to being present with client. Broadening your vocabulary, we talked about that a bit. Determining often on the fly what to do next. If your client session plan changes instantly, when you pick up the phone or get on Zoom, it's completely different than you thought it was going to be. How do you come up with the next thing to do with your client? How do you support them through that? Another thing we talk about are some of the detours that can take a client off track. Realizing that your client's timeline may have totally changed and your contract, your agreement with them may no longer be valid. How do you navigate that? What to expect at different phases for your client, what they're going to be focused on and capable of, and what they're going to need at each phase can be very valuable information. And then creating a healing culture around change in our sessions. This is a new growing edge to my work, and I've been studying change for 40 years now. 41 really, but 40 is good enough. And one of the things that I am starting to talk about is how our world at large, our culture generally speaking, is set to resist change. We think that culturally, I'm not saying every person does this, but culturally there is kind of a push to resist, ignore, avoid, deny change. And so we keep pushing. We keep pushing to make it go away. If we just work harder, it will go away. If we ignore it, it will go away. If we just skip over it, it will go away. And that, what that does is it escalates the signs that change needs to happen. And so instead of making change go away, it actually turns up the volume on that change in ways that make it more difficult. And when our bodies know that a change is happening, but our brains say, oh no, it's not happening, we can just carry on status quo, we're fine. This disconnect sends us into some real predictable responses. We either turn that angst, that between the head and the heart, that disconnect, we either turn it inward, and that can lead to depression, anxiety, addictions, self-harm, those kinds of things. Or we can turn it outward, where we blame other people, we get violent, we get loud. It's much more, it's not my fault, it's your fault. Kind of energy. And then the third one that I also see is we disassociate from it. So we may head to Netflix to just escape into a movie. We might escape into books. We might socialize and have fun, whatever it is. But the disconnect doesn't go away. It keeps living in us, and the signs get louder and louder and louder. And so my understand full understanding of change is that this approach to change is not working anymore. It worked sort of for previous generations, but now that there is so much change going on and there are disconnects between what we have control over and what we don't, the signs of change are getting more and more extreme. And if we don't, as a culture, learn how to change, learn how to choose to change, learn how to see change as a way of growing and evolving and improving our reality, improving our personal lives and beyond, that's the pivot that I see is possible. And I use this nature, inspired way to support people in understanding what change is about. Nature changes on a daily basis. Every day there's changes outside your window. And years ago, while I was grieving for my father's death, that watching blossoms come open up on a tree that had been bare and winterized, that is what gave me the inspiration to start looking. I said, I hope I blossom again someday too. And that insight that nature was changing and I could watch nature gave me the inspiration to create the seasons of change. And so by shifting from resist, hide from this, ignore this, to let's be with the changes and learn how to change in a natural, inspired way that heals us and allows us to move further into our lives with more skills. Let's make that change. And that becomes a healing culture where we support our clients in choosing to change support our clients in learning how to change, support our clients in learning how to communicate what it is they're experiencing. So when you can hold that energy and space for your client to be heard and seen and experiment and discover that if they just did this, then their life could improve, then that becomes the path forward for that person. And they are able to then share with other people going through change that it's okay that you don't know right now. It's okay if this is scary. It's okay that you are feeling all that's going on in this world right now. This healing culture of change is how we get skilled and how we build the strength and ability to navigate the world that we're in right now. So this is a big topic that's just beginning for me. I'm actually on the no, I'm nearly ready to launch my new podcast called Re-envisioning Change, and it will be a lot about what I just talked about there. And the last thing I would say is really understanding how to refer your clients when circumstances call for it. So, if your client is in a situation that you know nothing about, or if they have likely experienced trauma or they're in shock, there may be times when you realize you are not the best person for them right now. They can come back to you to work on what they were working with you on before, but you may sometimes be in a situation where you need to refer them onward. Okay, we're gonna go next to important realization number five. So it is essential for you to tend to yourself when events rock you to your core. So that may be your own personal and professional realities, or it could be the shocking collective events that are impacting everybody. When I first taught the coaching clients in uncertain times, we had planned it, I think, scheduled it in January or February of 2020. And by the time the class rolled around, we were well into the pandemic. And George Floyd was also killed during our class. And so we had two kind of up close and personal experiences of that collective ex events that impact us all. And there was one day, I think it was right after George Floyd's death, that we all came to class absolutely in shock. It was clear I was in shock, everybody else in the group was in shock. And so we took that day to listen, and we just put the agenda aside and we just listened and honored what people were seeing. And together we held space for each other and we felt a little more grounded and a little more supported after we took that time to acknowledge that, whoa, that was a big thing that just happened. So this can happen. I've had my husband, I'm a caregiver for my husband, and he's had some situations. Most recently, a mini stroke last year where he was dizzy for like 3 or 4 months after that. And so I had to figure out when I was available to work with clients again and when I needed to take a short pause to gather myself, collect myself, be grounding and healing to myself. And when I've needed to take longer periods of time. Sometimes I've had surgery and I need a longer period of time to heal. Or after my mom passed away, I took like a 9-month sabbatical because I was responsible to clear out her house and I just needed that time for myself. So it's not just your client going through changes, you are also going through changes and you need to discern when it's time to step back and when it's time to step forward again. And there are times when it can be appropriate to show up with your clients when you've all experienced the same collective event. I just ex I gave the example of the uncertain times class, but there are other times with individual clients where we've both shown up a little shaken and we work together to get to the place where they want to be. What is it you want today? And let's focus on that. It may not be anything we had talked about before, but this is what they need at that time. And then I've been told that by me showing up in a shaken way, grounded enough that I could do work, but still shaken, that I was modeling that compassion and modeling what's normal after a shocking situation. And people actually appreciated, my coaches in training classes actually appreciated being able to see what that looks like, to be able to model that so that they got a feeling for it. So the next time that happens in their situation, in their work, they have a model to go by. So that's been very interesting. Often I'm like nervous. Oh my gosh, should I have really shared that? Or was that, professional? But the feedback that I get is even though we're in a moment that's a bit shaken, being able to show up and acknowledge that and work from that point, because everybody in the room is at that point, is actually very helpful and healing for everybody. So I just bring this to your attention because sometimes it's, I've got to just put on my mask and get to work, but sometimes that's just not possible, and nor it should be. We are human too, and we need to bring our humanness to our work, and that's showing that compassion and empathy and showing people how change can work can be very helpful. So let's talk a little minute about the two classes that are coming up. So my first class is Coaching Clients in Uncertain Times. That starts at the end of July and goes through to, I think, the first week in September. It's 5 weeks long. Maybe it's the end of summer. You can look up the dates. And here we're going to talk about how high uncertainty alters the way we go through changes. And so I've taken the seasons of change and then looked at the points along that journey that are most impacted by that high uncertainty event. And giving you the ability to have the words to talk about this kind of change and how it impacts your client. We'll talk about the phases that your client is likely to experience. And we'll talk about how to support clients in seeing well where they are and to notice what it looks like when somebody's experienced a trauma. Not that you're going to help them through it, but knowing enough about how people present when they're in trauma can help you with that referral process if you need to do that. And then we're also going to talk in more detail about how to show up when you yourself are feeling unsettled and unmoored by the same source of uncertainty. And the conversations that we have in that class really bring out the variety of changes that can happen, but also the dynamics of what that looks like for your client and possibly yourself. So that's Coaching Clients in Uncertain Times. The Seasons of Change, I am teaching in September, October timeframe this year in 2026. And we're going to focus quite a bit on understanding what change is, really drilling down to some of the more the qualities of change and the dynamics of change. And this is part of my mission to give us more vocabulary, more ways to talk about what it is we're going through. And in this class, we go into the seasons of change in detail. We talk about the four seasonal arcs, so the fall arc, winter, spring, and summer, and what the corresponding goal is for each season and phase of that season. the signs that tell you somebody's there, the activities they can focus on, the detours that may take them off track, and then the skills that they need to learn. Like one of them is learning how to quiet oneself, to be in quiet. A lot of people don't know how to slow down and really focus in on themselves at certain points of the seasons, mostly because we've been taught to ignore it and keep going. But this is a skill that we need. We also talk about choosing to change, using subtle signs to tell us that, oh, I should look at that. I should make some decisions about that and make that change. And then in that class, we spend two sessions really learning about how to discern what season your client is in. So you can take these classes in either order. You could take seasons of change this fall, and then next time the coaching clients in uncertain times can, you can take it then, or you can take that first and then the seasons of change second. Either way works. I built them to be independent. You can take one and not the other as well. So I see there are some more questions. So let me get to those. Oh, how sweet of you, Lisa Joy. Thank you for that. Yeah, so there are the classes. And are there any questions I can, are there any questions, anything that you want me to clarify or add to? Yeah, go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you. I just happened to have been on the website looking for your class earlier, Carol. So thank you so much. This was terrific. I don't know any coach that couldn't benefit from this, honestly. We're all in this, whatever the changes are, there's so many different ones, but we're all in many of them together. So a question of mine has to do with like being culturally competent. I have clients who are, really, really like freaking out over what happening in to the LGBTQ plus and the trans community specifically. That's not my personal experience, but I have a vicarious experience, which is through an adult child. But I'm not an expert in that area. There's also people of color that are really struggling. That's not part of my experience, but I come from a position of privilege in some ways, and so I want to be skillful. Some of these don't require referral to a therapist, but I guess I want your guidance on like, maybe collaborating with colleagues in the, other coaches, doing continuing education comes to me to my mind. I know there have been things on being, cultural sensitivity or justice sensitivity, that can be helpful. And I just want to know what you would recommend for those of us who are, like you say, out of our depth. I love how you use that term. Because some things really are squarely co can be squarely coaching, but they straddle certain communities and sensitivities, right? So.
Absolutely. So I think you're on the right track, learning, becoming more aware yourself and perhaps looking for people on social media or through your network that are aligned with these different groups that you may run into, and offer that as a suggestion as to additional resources, but and or a referral if that feels like they will be served better by somebody who is fully in that space. That could be a direction. I try to follow a lot of different people and read a lot and watch their stories and to become more aware. A part of it's just being aware of how each group is experiencing life. Native is another one. I worked on a board for a healing circle for women veterans, and a number of them were Native. And so I learned by osmosis in some ways, because that's where you've got to start the learning. And then there are classes out there that you can take It's that awareness, I think, that is the biggest thing. Don't go in with blinders and say, well, they need to do it this way, obviously. But expanding your own horizons and becoming aware of possible allies, maybe doing partnerships with them, learning from them, learning with them. I
Thank
think
you. And something else that just got kind of stimulated for me that I was thinking earlier in the presentation, which is coming, and this is something I struggle with, and so I'm just going to be very honest about that, is to try to be, I don't know if there's a real term about this, politically neutral. Like, I want to not make assumptions, but I know where I kind of come from and my stances. I know I have assumptions about people who I think are different than me or believe differently than me, and I really just want to be just a very caring, competent coach for everyone. And I know where I see where I get riled up. But I also, language to use,
I think we're all learning
something to
that.
say. It's really that's something that I feel very kind of challenged by, but I want to get more confident about that.
And I think I will include myself in that because it is a challenge. I purposely left political references off of this slide deck, for instance, for on purpose. Because we all know, and that's not the topic here. So, I have two very close friends who I tried to speak with. Doesn't always work well. So I think it's just a challenge of our time. And there are some groups I think I may include them in the resources for uncertain times. I can try to, if you send me an email, Lisa, at C Carol at seasonsofchange.com, I will try to find those resources because there are groups out there that are trying to make bridges between the political divide. And
Yeah, I
they
know there's the
are.
Othering and Belonging Institute at Berkeley, I think, or is it Berkeley or Stanford? Anyway, thank you. I know I want to get more skillful there, and not, I'd like to be more, kind of available psychologically to be able to meet folks that maybe are seemingly across a divide. There's so many more things we have in common, and I try to find the common ground. But I really thank you very much for the
Sure. Thank you, Lisa.
taking the time.
Any other questions before we complete the call? All right. I have 1 minute. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. If you have questions about the classes and you're trying to make sense of the two classes, feel free to email me. I am very accessible to my students. I like to interact with my students and provide you with the insights you need to make a good decision for your own training. So just reach out to me. All right. Thank you, everybody, for your presence. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good one, everybody.